This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
So we're going to pick up today, A Bride of Satan, Part 3. Let's start out first with a statement from Elaine, then Rebecca.
And I'd ask my mother, I'd say, I feel strange. And she'd say, well, how do you feel strange? She thought I had a fever or was coming down with a cold or something wrong with my surgery or something like this. And that was a natural reaction for her because, see, she wasn't aware either of what had happened. Because had she been aware, it never would have happened.
I might just add here that I, in my medical practice, have come across a number of children that have also been sold to Satan in such a manner.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Hi, Doctor.
Hello, Jim.
Let's continue on.
Okay.
Jack Chick, a publisher, cartoonist, and promoter of Dr. Rebecca Brown, and her friend, a one-time bride of Satan, Elaine, Nurse Elaine. So we're going to pick up today, A Bride of Satan, Part 3.
Well, I found out, interesting enough, from a girl who was in the same Sunday school class I was in a Pentecostal church in my hometown.
Amazing.
She asked me to go with her to church camp. Now, when you say church camp, most people think of, you know, the camp where everybody, the kids go and they have different dorms, and of course they get to go swimming and they learn about the Bible and Jesus, and this was not that kind of church camp. This was another camp, and this camp was for mediums and spiritualists and clairvoyants and palm readers and tea leaf readers and tarot card readers. It was also for witches and warlocks and all of this type of thing. But when you first go in, they don't show you the witch and warlock part, just the fun part, like you go in and have your palm read, and then they show, isn't this fun? Wouldn't this be fun to learn how to do this? And wouldn't it be fun to learn how to read a tarot card or a Ouija board? Or wouldn't it be fun to learn how to read tea leaves or coffee grounds or any of these things? And it starts out as a fun thing, like a camp. Before the 2 weeks was up, I had spent a great deal of time learning about different aspects of this camp and about a power that they kept saying I had within. And I was beginning to think, is this a power that keeps surging in? Would it be fun to learn how to read a tarot card or a Ouija board? Or wouldn't it be fun to learn how to read tea leaves or coffee grounds or any of these things? And it starts out as a fun thing, like a camp. Before the 2 weeks was up, I had spent a great deal of time learning about different aspects of this camp and about a power that they kept saying I had within. And I was beginning to think, is this a power that keeps surging inside of me, that keeps fighting and wanting to get out? And I began to think more and more and more about what other people had told me that was around me. I had a special gift. I was a gifted child. I was this, I was that. And I also remembered that other kids didn't have what I had. And I was beginning to think, now maybe there is something to all this. Then the girl comes up to me and asks if I want to join their organization. And I was hesitant because I wasn't sure what I had to do to join this group. And I wasn't too sure I wanted to, because primarily I hated people. I had been so badly mistreated at home. I had been badly mistreated in school. Nothing like peers to hurt you the worst. Your kids your own age can just make your life miserable, and they did mine because of my deformities and that type of thing. So I had basically learned to hate people pretty well. I was a street kid. I learned how to fight and handle myself well. So I was a little hesitant to join. But they told me that, you know, I should join because I had this special gift, this special power. And again, I was tempted because I want to know what this power was. I had felt it all this time. I didn't know what it was for, and I was hungry to find out. And I wanted more of it because it felt good. So I said, well, maybe. And they told me I had to sign a contract in my own blood. And I said, no, you don't. Then they locked me in a little room, and it was dark, and they played these tapes to me over these loudspeakers, and all it said over and over was that Satan was king, Jesus was dead, Jesus was a deceiver, Jesus was a liar, Only Satan loved me. Only he could tell the truth. He was the one that was within the power that was within me, and only he could tell me how to use it and to bring forth a blossom as a beautiful rose would blossom with all my power and ability. Only he could lead me along this path, and that Jesus Christ hated me, and that my parents hated me, and everything. So after 48 hours of this, I was ready to sign anything to get out of this room. So I did. I signed a contract that said that I sold myself, body, soul, and spirit, to Satan for his use in exchange for all this power that I was supposed to get. And I signed it with my own blood. I cut my finger, I dipped a pen in it, and I signed it with my own blood, my name. Then became the training period. It was a long period. I was taught how to make incantations and spells. I was taught how to, you have to memorize everything. What candles to use, what color, what hour of the day to use certain things, when to use certain types of hair, animal hair, or bugs, potions and powders, how to light candles without touching them. I was taught how to levitate, how to meditate, how to astral project, how to think real hard and cause myself to come out of my body, so to speak. My spirit would come out of my body, and I could see everything around me with both sets of eyes, the spirit eyes and my bodily eyes.
Now, these were demons coming into your body all this time. These people were feeding demons into you to give
right.
you these powers?
They were teaching me that I had to call in, conjure up and call in a certain power demons in order for me to exploit this power that I had within, in order to make it explode and grow and become more. And at 16 and 17, you're young, you're easily taken along a path that isn't right, especially when you don't have Christian parents to lead you and guide you. I had a church that didn't care whether I was there or not. So I was pretty much on my own, and yet I was hungry for something. I was hungry to be loved by something or somebody that wouldn't hurt me, that wouldn't cause me any more pain.
Elaine, now that you were getting this power through this school and the training of different people, were you ever confronted at high school where someone insulted you and you used the power to pay them back?
There was two separate times that I can tell you about that are really important. One, I was in gym class, and I was getting ready to take my shower. I had put up all the equipment as I was told to do, and I thought I was the last one in there. And there was this young girl in there that was a lesbian, and she got a half Nelson on me and was trying to do her thing with me. And I picked her, she was a big girl, and I picked her up, and I put her head in the commode and almost drowned her. If it hadn't been for the physical education teacher and two other teachers coming in, I would have drowned her.
Amazing.
Because I didn't like that kind of thing. I didn't want to be touched by her. I thought she was filth, as far as I was concerned, and I didn't want her touching me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if you ever come near me again, I'll kill you. And she, to this day, believes that I will.
Well, these were these demonic powers giving
right.
you tremendous
strength. Right, it was giving
strength.
Me tremendous, because I just picked her up. She was a huge girl. I just picked her up Amazing. And just took her head and just stuck her down in the commode, upside down. I just picked her up.
Amazing.
And one other time was a football player. He weighed about, 65 pounds. Was about 6'1 or 6'2. He was a big, broad-shouldered young man. And I was walking down the hall with a friend of mine, and he was saying, hey, there goes the hair lip, there goes the ugly hair lip again. And my friend says, don't do it, because she could see I was getting angry. Now, I had put up with this, see, all through school. That's why I hated school. That's why I hated people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't make bad grades. I just didn't like people. And I dropped my books. I turned around, and I ran at him, knocked him down, and began hitting him. And I beat his face so badly that he had to have repair work done. I broke his nose and his jaws and knocked out his teeth. And it took 8 teachers to get me off this boy. I would have killed him.
Elaine, how big were you then?
Oh, I only weighed about 95 pounds, something like that. I stood about 5'4".
This was the demonic power, wasn't it?
Oh, sure. Because this kid was big. He was a lot bigger than I was. And there was no way I could have harmed him any other way. I mean, I had no weapon in my hand except for my hands. And there wasn't a bruise on me. And I broke that boy's jaws and his teeth and his nose and around his forehead. And I gave him a concussion and everything. And there wasn't a bruise on my fist or nothing else. Nothing.
Then after you got out of high school, you got more intensive training then?
Oh, yes. I went into more intensive training. The high priestess, Grace, the very one that drank my blood, she asked me to come in. She wanted to talk to me. I was to be the next high priestess. I was to take her place. Normally, when a high priestess takes another high priestess' place, she has to kill off that high priestess in order to get it. I didn't have to do that, however. She trained me. I was taught etiquette and the proper stance and the way to sit and talk. But I was also taught how to call upon a certain type of demon. That was to be my guiding demon, my guiding spirit. His name was Manchan. When this demon came into me, I became exactly as I was supposed to be. I could speak all kinds of languages. I could walk and talk and be the perfect lady and do everything in a perfect manner. And I struggled for years and years and years to control this demon that I had called into my body, and I never could get control upon him until I was saved.
Amazing. Elaine, once you had this powerful demon, Manchan, inside you, giving you all these abilities, was your rise to power rapid?
Yes, it was. Shortly after I became a high priestess, I rapidly rose to sit on the a National Council of Witches. I finally became a regional bride of Satan, which after many competitions and all this, I got to be on the International Council of Witches. Now, there's only 5 to 10 regional brides of Satan or Lucifer, depending on what part of the country you come from, in this country at one time. There are many brides of Satan within a local area, but regional brides are not that many. My main hometown assignment, however, was to infiltrate and destroy local Christian Bible-believing churches. That was my main job.
I see. Okay, so it was at this point in your pinnacle of power that you came against Rebecca. Is this right?
Yes, it was right. It was during this period I was experiencing all the difficulties as a result of Rebecca's church with their power structure, their power prayer and everything coming against what I was trying to send against her was blocking everything. So Satan then assigned me to this very small church where I was to go and destroy it. And This church was a storefront church. They were really teaching God's Word. They were speaking out against Satan, and they were telling it just like it is in God's Word. And it was up to me then to infiltrate and to destroy. It's like a search and seizure type thing with the army. Mm-hmm. Many men would understand that. So we were sent in, and I couldn't, the first time I drove up there, I couldn't even get out of the car. I mean, the power of God was so strong in this little bitty church, I couldn't even get out of the car.
Amazing.
And the second time I got out of the car, but I couldn't get the door open. It was so strong. And the third time I got inside, but I had to sit in the back. The power of God was so strong, I just sat in the back. And the friend who had dared me to go, I mean, finally, you know, she said, well, why haven't you come to church? And I couldn't say, well, because I can't stand the power of God there. I had to say, you know, well, I just didn't feel like it, you know, had to make some kind of excuse of. Yeah. And she says, well, I dare you to go. And the third time I went, I sat in the back, but I went. Mm-hmm. And she asked me to sit up front, and I told her no. I said, I'm perfectly all right back here. She says, that's okay. Our God is back here as well as he is up front. She says, I'll sit back here with you. And I learned that these people knew who I was. They knew that I was a witch. They began praying for me, loving me, holding Praise me God. Up in prayer. And they continue this, both men and women. Continued this for a year. They had no idea that if it hadn't been for their prayers, I'd be a dead woman, you see. But they continued on in prayer that the Lord would somehow save my soul. I was that important to them.
What an example to the churches today. How important it is that they should pray and fast for a witch instead of screaming to get her out. Right?
It's not only important that they've been praying for that whole year, but the night I finally went forward to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, if it had not been for their prayers and their intercessing for me before the throne, I could never have been saved. I had Manchan, this guiding demon, and all these other demons screaming in my head. I could hear them telling me I couldn't do this. I wasn't allowed to do this. This was against all the orders, all the principles, everything I'd been taught for 17 years, it was against everything. Yet my heart yearned for and longed for, was hungry for Jesus Christ. And so I went on forward, and then they began to work with my mouth. And I couldn't control my mouth. I couldn't get it open, and then I couldn't get it shut. And these people could see this, and they really were sweating. They were praying. They were crying out to Jesus and asking for these, whatever was wrong with me, to be loosed so that I could ask him in as my Savior. And when that moment finally came, I never felt such a relief in my entire life. I could hear all these demons screaming, and they were screaming, no, 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 she did it, no, 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 you know, over and over. And I mean, they were screaming, and they were ripping and tearing inside me. I could feel all this battle going on, but at the same time, I felt this beautiful, warm, glowing flow just started to top my head and just started going through and come out my feet. And I felt all these warm tears running down my face. And see, I was taught that it was not proper for someone to cry over a 17-year period. I wasn't allowed to cry. It was not proper. You didn't do this. Mm-hmm. But there was these beautiful, warm tears that were flowing down my face, and my face was just soaked with them, and I felt this glow all over me. And it wasn't that horrible, horrifying, you're going to get burned now type thing. It was a warm, loving hug type of glow that come all over me. And that's the way I felt when Jesus Christ came into my soul. You remember back in the tape, I was telling you that I had such a terrible struggle with Manchan, my guiding demon, guiding spirit, to get him to leave me alone. I couldn't control him. But the very instant that this warm feeling came over me and I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I told Manchan to shut up and leave me alone, and he did. And I was rather shocked. I've got to admit, I sat back and was really shocked because he shut up. And I realized all of a sudden that there was a power stronger than Satan, and there was something better than what Satan had to offer, because now I had life, and before all I had looked forward to was death.
Okay, Elaine, what was Satan's reaction to all this?
Well, as soon as I got home, he manifested himself to me. And he started in on me. He started yelling and screaming at me. But there was something different, something odd. There was all these demons behind him. And you could hear him snarling and going around. But they looked shocked, and they wouldn't come near me. I mean, their faces looked shocked, had a shocked expression on their face. And for the first time, he wouldn't come near me. I mean, he kept a distance between me and him, as if I was to touch him, I might hurt him somehow.
Really?
Which never happened before. And if he wanted to grab a hold of me before and shake me around like a rag doll, he would have. But he wouldn't touch me. He just threatened me and told me how he was going to get even with me and how I couldn't stay saved and how no one would accept me and Jesus Christ was a liar, and I soon find that out. And he ordered these demons to attack me, and they wouldn't do it. And these were the same demons that were ordered before to beat me up and did so when I was in the craft, in the cult. But they didn't. They wouldn't do it now. Now, Satan tried to tell me that nothing could cover or take care of the contract I had signed in my own blood with him. But I looked him straight in the eye for the first time, and I told him, "You're a liar. I read the track that Jack Chick put out, the contract. And that contract I wrote with you is no good because the blood of Jesus is sufficient for all things." And I said, "The ladies at the church have been telling me this for quite some time, that you're the liar and that Jesus' blood was sufficient for all things." And I said, "Jack Chick's track, the contract, says that his blood is sufficient for all things, and there's no way you're going to tell me that your contract's any good. It's broken by the blood of Jesus." Now, the next threat that Satan brought against me when he found out that I was not going to buy the contract bit was that he would allow the Christians, was the word he used it, to destroy me. Now, the Christians in this instance he was talking about were the people he had in the churches that were his people that he would allow to destroy me by giving me no credibility at all, just ruining my name, reputation, everything. They're well programmed in doing this. I was trained the same thing, so I knew that this particular threat that he was making could happen because this happened before to other people.
Elaine, I can imagine Satan launched a full-scale assault against you and took away as much, well, the power that Man-Chan had given you. He was stripping you of everything, and here you were absolutely shattered. Did he hit you with sickness, or what did he do?
Jack, he hit me with everything. He hit me, of course, financially, and with my credibility, as he said he would. Everybody was out to destroy me because they were afraid I would destroy them because I knew too much. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing he did was hit me with physical illness. During this time, I had fled to another city where Rebecca's hospital was, and I was working in another area there, in a nursing home, and I collapsed at work and was taken into the emergency room. That's how sick I was. And who walked in but this tall, blonde lady doctor. And she had a little pin on her lapel that says, "Jesus is life." And I know that I looked up at it, and I looked at her, and I said, "Are you a Christian?" And she says, "Yes." "Are you?" And I said, "Yes, I'm 2 weeks old." And lo and behold, it was Rebecca Brown.
Rebecca, did you know anything about Elaine's background before she got saved?
No, I didn't, Jack. To me, she was just another patient coming in the emergency room. She really wasn't even my patient. By this time, I was a resident, and she was assigned to the intern who was underneath my supervision at that time. Of course, I saw her that night, and she did tell me that she was a new Christian, and later that night the Lord instructed me that I was to purchase a Bible for her, which I did, and took in on rounds and gave to her the next morning. I had no idea that there were demons in her, and they spoke through Elaine trying to drive me away, and I thought she was the most obnoxious person on the face of this earth. I had no idea that it was the demons within her trying to drive me away. In fact, she made me so mad. When I gave her the Bible, I gave her a reading assignment, and I told her she had to read the entire book of James by the time I made rounds the next morning. And the reason why I did that is because James has so much to say about taming the tongue. And it made Elaine so mad that when I made rounds the next morning and came in, she threw the Bible at me.
Really?
Elaine's case was certainly a very difficult one because I knew she was sick. She was so obnoxious to me all the time. And yet I prayed about her case as I was in the habit of praying and fasting about all the difficult cases. But the Lord was strangely silent as to what went on. And we ran every test in the book on her. And being in a large teaching hospital, we had many tests to run that the average hospital doesn't have. And they all kept turning out negative. Of course, at that time, I wasn't knowledgeable about the way demons can destruct and tear down a physical body on a molecular level so that the tests won't turn up. They won't show up what's going on. But all in all, I heaved a great sigh of relief because after Lane had been in the hospital about a month, I was due to be changed to a different rotation and she would no longer be under my care. But you know, there was another strange thing about Elaine. I didn't realize what it was, but she had such a presence about her. And I realize now it was because of the demon Manchan that was in her, the tremendous power that was in her. But everyone, wherever Elaine went, was immediately aware of her presence in the room. There was just, all I can describe it as, a presence. And every ward she went on, there was trouble. There was constant trouble with the nurses. Everyone knew that she was there. And of course, at that time, I didn't realize it was because of what was going on between her and the nurses that were witches. So I was very thankful. I was just saying, thank you, Lord, that I can change rotations.
Yes, but I had other ideas. You see, no one told me that I couldn't use my witchcraft. I mean, yes, I accepted Jesus as my Savior, but no one told me that I couldn't do what I used to do. I was kind of stuck there, you see, and I was also very afraid. There was all these witches around me, and I knew that Satan had put out a contract on me to be done away with, and I was scared to death, so it was up to me to fight to keep my life. And here was this young Christian woman, and I didn't really trust her too much either, and yet something kept drawing me back and drawing me back to her. And so I kept doing incantations to get rid of everybody else so she'd have to come back.
Interestingly enough, after I changed rotations, it had only been about a week, and the intern, who was, you know, Elaine was really his private patient, he came to me and told me that he didn't care what the consequences were, that he was never going to go back in and see that woman again, and that he was handing her over into my hands, that he would have nothing more to do with her. And there was another specialist that was on her case. And a week after that, he came and told me the same thing. And nobody would have anything to do with Elaine, and there I was.
What Rebecca didn't know was that the specialist was a Satanist. And I deliberately picked a fight with him, trounced him. I mean, I bopped him good and drove him away so that I'd have her. I didn't want him. I didn't trust him. I was, like I said before, I was scared to death. I was in a hospital that I knew belonged to Satan, and I knew they were out to get me. And the only person that seemed to have any light around them or any inkling of what Jesus was all about was this young woman doctor. And I kind of held on like a kid does to his mama's apron strings for a long, long time. And I really felt bad about it, but at the same time, I felt glad because I felt like finally I found somebody who can help me.
Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
And all that story is told in my first book, He Came to Set the Captives Free.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. If you are interested in purchasing book Dr. Rebecca Brown, you can log on to www.harvestwarriors.com. Once again, that's www.harvestwarriors.com.